Hello and welcome to the Thursday, March 14th, 2013 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Orlando, Florida. Well, we've got an interesting diary today by Mark Baggett. Mark is writing about reasons why you should wipe a drive after a system got compromised. And to make this point, we have made this point in the past before, but he's focusing on two particular stealthy techniques that an attacker may use in order to evade detection and then be able to later reinfect the system. The first technique is a file association hijacking. What that means is that, for example, the attacker will associate the .txt file extension with an executable. And now if the .txt file is launched or is opened, then the executable will start. Virus scanners, on the other hand, will of course skip .txt files, and as a result, a malicious binary may go undetected. Now, in order to do this, the attacker will have to modify the registry, and you probably should have a baseline of your registry around in order to detect such changes. The second trick is something that was kind of new to me too, but well, I'm not a big Windows guy, and it involves BITS. That's the Background Intelligent Transfer System. This system is used to patch Windows, so BITS will go out and periodically look for updates from Microsoft. But it also comes with a tool called BITS Admin. BITS Admin can be used to schedule other downloads with BITS. So what an attacker could do is to schedule a periodic download using BITS Admin that will reinstall the malware on your system. Like with the registry, become familiar with this tool before you get compromised so you know what the expected results are if you are querying the list of scheduled downloads. So, well, these are really just two more ways how an attacker could hide on your system. Two more things for you to check, and it just starts here. So there are many more ways how an attacker can hide in Windows, in Linux, and as a result, well, wipe that drive and don't rely on just uninstalling some random piece of malware that was found. In addition, what I always keep telling people is the reason that this malware ended up on your system is usually that you have some kind of unpatched vulnerability, or maybe a user that just tends to not behave very well. And this is probably not the first time this happened. This is just the first time that you detected it. It is very normal to find multiple independent pieces of malware on a system that has a vulnerability. Well, and while we are talking about recovering from a compromise, Google posted a set of videos targeting webmasters that have to recover from a compromised site. So these videos will talk about detection and then recovery from a compromise. Also, what some of the common mistakes are in site configuration. So how to prevent getting hacked right again. Interesting videos. I haven't looked at all of them yet. I think there are like 80 or so of them, but we quite commonly run into this issue where we notify a webmaster about a particular compromise and they have a real hard time, first of all, figuring out what's going on and then how to prevent it from happening again. And then we also got another diary for IPv6 Focus Month that's very current and nicely illustrates some of the issues that we have with IPv6. Turns out that Kaspersky had to patch its Internet Security Suite, the firewall component of the Internet Security Suite, to fix a vulnerability in how it deals with IPv6 packets. If the firewall received a packet with a very long destination header, it would crash the firewall and in turn disconnect the system from the network. In IPv6, in addition to the IP header and the transport header, we have optional extension headers. Many of the features that you're used to in options and flags in IPv4 are now moved to extension headers, and well, additional new features too, including these destination headers. Destination headers are only really parsed by the destination of the packet, so a firewall should kind of leave it alone. Maybe you want to set up some special rules to filter certain destination headers, but the challenge for the firewall is, in order to find the TCP or the UDP header, it first has to skip over these destination or other extension headers, and evidently Kaspersky had issues if these headers reached certain sizes. The vulnerability was found using the THC, that's for the Hacker's Choice IPv6 toolkit. It comes with a firewall suite that will actually test various odd and invalid packets against firewalls, and several of these tests that used large destination headers crashed Kaspersky's firewall. Well, that's it for today, so thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.